Of course, when you fly one of these flights on a space station, the main reason that you're there is to undertake a series of science experiments. And there was a whole repertoire of science experiments that were sponsored by the United States to be performed on the Mir space station, primarily to look at the effect of long-duration spaceflight on the human body. And in order to do that, they had to do various medical examinations of us before the flight. And here I'm being examined along with the flight surgeon, Dr. McGinnis, who supported the flight, looking at the effect of... actually, here, this is a system that provides pressure to the lower part of your body to look at the way the fluid is distributed in the body. It's a system they use for conditioning astronauts and cosmonauts. I flew with two other cosmonauts. The commander of the mission was Talgat Musbayev, see here, and the first flight engineer was Nikolai Budarin, here. And they're both veterans. They had flown before, and we trained together in a mock-up of the Mir space station, as you see here. For a short time, we also had a French cosmonaut flying with us, Leopold Erhards, who you see on the left here. When I first started this whole training program, as I said, I expected that I was not going to fly. I was just doing the training because I wanted to go through the interesting experience of cosmonaut training. But then, around about August of last year, they made reassignments to the flight manifest because Wendy Lawrence was deemed to be too small for the Russian spacesuit. And I got a phone call in August from the manager of the program, the U.S. manager, saying, come over, I need to talk to you. And so I went over and he said, Wendy Lawrence is not going to be flying. Dave Wolf is going to fly second to last increment. We need someone to fly the last increment. And they basically said, would you be ready to do it? And at that moment, things got a lot more serious for me, and my life changed in a very big way, because I agreed to undertake the training and fly the very last flight of a NASA astronaut to the Mir space station with this crew. And that's the training that I've just sort of described. It really was a fascinating experience to live in Russia for a year, to undertake this training, all using the Russian language. All the classes I took on the spacecraft systems were in the Russian language. The exams I took on the spacecraft systems I had to do as oral exams in Russian. It was an extremely demanding intellectual task, but very rewarding. And at the end of it, I was trained to join these two cosmonauts, spend 4 months on the Mir space station. I left Russia in December of last year. When I did that, the cosmonaut colleagues went to Kazakhstan and learned... trained to fly on this vehicle, which is the Soyuz rocket, where they launched from to go up to the Mir space station. I went back to the United States to the Kennedy Space Center and joined the crew of STS-89 that fly on the shuttle to join the Mir space station. And with that, I think I'll conclude the slide part of my presentation, and we'll get into the video, which talks about the flight itself. And the video begins where the slides leave off, with the flight of STS-89 up to the Russian space station. These are just the patches of the flight, crew emblems. Okay, this is at crew quarters, the day of launch. This is a few hours before launch, where we have a meal together in crew quarters. We then go to the suit-up room and don these orange high-pressure space suits, prepare for launch, and then walk out from the crew quarters. We get into the bus called the Astrovan, which will take us out to the launch pad for launch. We strapped into the space shuttle, which was the vehicle Endeavour, and waited out for the countdown and the launch sequence. Feel the vehicle launch, lurch just before the launch, and away it goes. We climb up, we roll out over the ocean, accelerating, and at about 2 minutes into the flight, the solid rocket boosters have expended all their fuel and are jettisoned. We carried a small camera on board this, which captured the in-cabin view of the astronauts on the flight deck during the launch. And I think the next sequence takes you to that. Yes, here we are. You see the flash of the engine start, the vibration. There, the engines are starting. More vibration. There's the solid rocket boosters and the vehicle's moving, going upwards through the sky. The sky is lit up. It's a night launch, but the sky is lit up by the plume of the boosters. If you look over here, you'll shortly see out the pilot's window some clouds go by as we punch up through the atmosphere. There they go. You see the whole vehicle shaking under the power of the engines. Next thing is the solid rocket boosters are blown away by explosive bolts, and that's what that big flash is that you see there. From that point on, you then ride the main engines up into orbit. And from liftoff to orbit takes only 8.5 minutes, and you accelerate to a speed of 30,000 kilometers an hour. Here we are in orbit. We open the payload bay doors. This structure you see here is the docking fixture, which will actually mate to a complementary fixture on the Russian space station. We then began a series of rocket firings to slowly bring us around the Earth to catch up with the Mir space station, which was in orbit ahead of us. It appeared first as a small speck of light, like a star on the horizon, and slowly grew as we drew closer to it. This is a view through the docking tunnel. Here's the station as we're getting closer. Here's the docking module there that we're drawing up towards. Here we are coming in closer from another angle, just at sunset there as the sun's going. And here come the two docking modules. The space station is in the top, and the shuttle is at the bottom. There's the target that they use for alignment. They come in and make capture there. At that point, you have a very large vehicle in space. You have 200 tons of a single large vehicle in space orbiting the Earth. Once you've checked the integrity of the connection between the two vehicles, you're then able to open the hatch, equalize the pressure first, then open the hatch to the space station. Here's the commander of the 89 mission, Harry Wilcutt, opening the hatch, and the Russian cosmonauts that were on board when we went there coming into the shuttle. Now, these are not the cosmonauts I flew with. This was the crew that had already been there for 6 months. So that's why they're so glad to see us. So the first people they'd seen in 6 months. And it meant that they were soon going to be going home, too. Okay, we then got a handheld camera. And this is the view you see as you go into the Mir space station through the docking module. It shakes around a bit because it's a handheld camera, but it gives you an idea of what conditions are like inside the Mir space station, going through the docking module, into the Kristall module, down to the node, and into the core module of the space station. These ducts that you see here, these white ducts, are what are used to recirculate air throughout the modules to keep the air moving. As I moved down this tunnel, I realized this was going to be my home for 4 months, and it was a fairly daunting prospect because it was crowded and it was dark. Here's the central node, and we do a turn and a flip, and here we are. Here am I with David Wolf in the core module of the Mir space station. We had a ceremony there with the cosmonauts. We exchanged some gifts and bought some chocolate and some fresh vegetables and things that they don't normally have. And then we began the process of packing up all Dave Wolf's equipment, the astronaut here that I was replacing, taking all his equipment off Mir and then bringing all mine onto Mir. To do that, we use these bags that you see being transferred here. After we transferred all the equipment, we had a little going away ceremony, exchanged best wishes, took hands. The shuttle crew then left, leaving me on board with the two cosmonauts, and a short time later evacuated the docking module and unhooked, and the shuttle slowly backed away from the Mir space station. This was one of the last views I had of the shuttle Endeavour as it was going behind us, one of the solar panels on the Mir space station, saying goodbye to my colleagues and leaving me on board. At that point, this vehicle became my home. I set about unpacking all the equipment that I had, setting up a house, and learning how to function. An interesting experience to learn how to live in the Mir space station. While I was doing this, my cosmonaut colleagues that I trained with launched out of Baikonur in central Kazakhstan to come and meet me, and this is their launch. Or it is a Soyuz launch, actually, it's not there. That was the Soyuz capsule coming in to mate with the space station. They docked at one end of the space station, and we opened the hatch and welcomed them aboard. At this point, the cosmonauts that had been up there for 6 months were really happy, because that meant now they were going home. And we had a handover and period, but then they packed up their equipment into their Soyuz capsule and closed the hatch and went out. I went off into space, come home. Here you see the flight engineer, Nikolai Budarin, closing the hatch on the Soyuz so that they could leave. Once the hatch was sealed, they then unhooked from the space station, slowly backed their Soyuz capsule away from the space station. We watched as they pulled away and got smaller and smaller, and we could see then as they drifted down into the atmosphere, and we heard a few hours later that they had actually re-entered the atmosphere successfully and landed in Kazakhstan just a couple of hours after they had left the space station. Here's one of the last views we had as they went away. This was quite a moment for us on board, myself with Talgat and Nikolai, because now this meant that we were in charge of the space station. It was now our vehicle and we were totally responsible for it, so we kind of patted ourselves on the back and began the mission.